Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. We're continuing our series on spiritual warfare, and we're looking at some of the spiritual warfare in the book of Revelation. And today we'll look at Revelation 16, the final seven bowl judgments. Before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, your word is true, and it speaks of things yet to come, and shows us the nature of humanity. Lord, as we look at your word today, inspire us. Make your word clear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are in Revelation chapter 16. And we've got to look at it in a structured way here. We'll look at the events, which are very catastrophic in themselves. And then we'll look at what's happening in the hearts of people, how they're deceived, how they resist God, and finally, how they're destroyed by God. So the events, what's happening in people's hearts, how they're deceived, how they resist God, and how they're going to be destroyed by God. And that's how it plays into the whole thing of spiritual warfare. Even if we're not in Revelation 16, we can see some of these things happening and how people react when God judges them and how wicked people simply do not learn when God rebukes them and chastises them. People, we tend to think, are reasonable, that they can learn from life and they can learn from circumstances. And when God disciplines us, we say, yes, Lord, and we turn around and we have a better way of living. But some people, their hearts get so hard, they get so determined in their idolatry or their own way of thinking that they turn around hating God. And instead of reacting to misfortune by repenting, they react to misfortune by turning against God and being mad at God. So with that in mind, let's look at Revelation chapter 16. We'll read the whole chapter and then we'll go back and we'll look at things and try and understand what's going on here. And I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the earth." And the first angel went and poured out his bowl into the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like blood, like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "Righteous art thou, who art and who wast, O Holy One, because thou didst judge these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. They deserve it." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord, the Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who had the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs, which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Har-Magedon. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done!
And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. So, what's happening? God's judgments are being poured out on the earth. How are people reacting? They're blaspheming God, and they're refusing to repent and give God glory. Who is deceiving them? The dragon and the false prophet and the beast. And they have demons coming out of them. What's the end result of all this deception? A mighty war against God in the place called Armageddon, which is finished off by a massive earthquake, so great that it affects the tectonic plates of the earth. It actually is so great that it smashes things up, and the mountains are not found and the islands flee away. It's at the level of tectonic plate earthquake. It's absolutely smashed up. Maybe one of these huge meteors smashes into the earth. I don't know. But it's a massive, abnormal earthquake that absolutely shatters the geologic structure of the earth. And that's the final judgment. And of course, the army in Armageddon is defeated and cast down. So here we are. These are final judgments. Who is being judged? The people being judged are called the earth dwellers. And we see those who dwell upon the earth. They're the opposite of people who are in heaven. Here humanity has been separated into two halves. The first half we find in Revelation 15. They're up in heaven. And so in verse 2, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had come off victorious from the beast and from his image and from the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God." And they sung, and they sing this song. So that the people that are victorious, that have come out of the tribulation, that are pure, and we hear about the martyrs as well under the throne in Revelation 6 and in this chapter. All the martyrs, all the people that have come out of the tribulation, every last Christian is now standing around the throne of God. No Christians are left at this point in Revelation 16. So the final wrath of God is coming down. We are not destined for wrath. Christians do not go through the bowl judgments. And so we're up there in heaven, and the people on earth now are particularly wicked people. They've taken the mark of the beast, they're worshipping the image of the beast, and they've been involved somehow in slaughtering huge numbers of Christians. The earth has been covered with the blood of the saints, and so we find out in verse 6, "For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, they deserve it." So there's been so much slaughter of the saints, of the Christians, of the prophets, of the people that spoke, all this has been happening, and now the Christians are up in heaven, and the waters turned to blood, and it's seen as just because there's been so much slaughter of Christians that's happened up to this point. And because of this persecution, because of the utter hatred of God, God is now unleashing judgments that are so brutal that they actually affect the geologic structure of the earth. And they affect the waters, they affect the sea, they affect even the sun. So these are judgments that happen at a natural level, and the substrate of the things. It's the waters are affected, the very sun is affected, the air is affected, it's poured out on the air at some point, and all the things are being shattered and tortured. And the first judgment in verse 16 and Revelation 16 and verse 2, "And the first angel went and poured out his bowl into earth, and became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the men who had the mark of beast and worshipped his image." So this malignant sore, this kind of thing that makes the skin crack and it's painful, and the pain of the sores is so great that in verses 10, 11, "And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and the kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. They did not repent of their deeds." So They start off with all these sores, and then all these things happen to them, and finally a great darkness comes over the throne of the beast where he is in power, and people are just curled up in agony, and they're gnawing their tongues in pain. And the people that have gone after money, they've gone after goods, they've gone after all the things of the world, they're now in absolute torment. Their money is absolutely no use to them at this point because everything's broken. And God's judgments are breaking every last thing, shattering the economy, shattering everything that the beast has set up. And so this tremendous afflictions are coming upon people, and they're just saying, nah, we don't like God, we don't care. And they get to a point of bring it on God. And they set up the Battle of Armageddon, which we'll see later on in the chapter. So the thing we've got to see at this point is that people are not reacting in a reasonable way. The judgments of God are being poured out on them, and instead of being logical, instead of being a spiritual person or a sensible person and turning around and repenting, there's no chance of repentance left. The Holy Spirit at this point has been withdrawn not completely from creation, but from the minds and hearts of people. The Holy Spirit has gone absolutely silent, and that which restrains the madness of the human heart, the human conscience, has been taken out of the way. People have no more access to God. God has just absolutely switched off every last chance of salvation. No one in Revelation 16 gets saved at all. Their hearts are hardened, they're darkened. The beast has got his technology in place. He's got his war machine in place. And the whole world is like a scene out of The Lord of the Rings, where all these people with their war machinery and all their genetic warriors are marching against God, and they're going to fight God. They know that Jesus is returning with millions and millions of his holy ones, and they decided they're going to stop the return of Jesus Christ. And I think when the bowl is poured out on the air parts to let Jesus come back through. That's just my particular way of seeing this. So they're going to stop the return of Jesus Christ. They've got all their missiles. They've got all their bombs. They know that Jesus Christ is going to return on the Mount of Olives and put his feet down there. And they're going to shoot Jesus out of the air or whatever they're planning to do. They're going to go to war against God. They're going to take the holy city. They're going to absolutely pillage and destroy. But the Christians aren't there anymore. All that's left is this wreck full of wicked people doing wicked things. So the sores are just tearing people's minds out. They're so painful. Let's go to verse 3. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea dies. So what's blood like that of a dead man? Well, dead people's blood congeals. It becomes stale. There's no oxygen in it at all. It's stale, it's congealed, it's free of oxygen, it's just glugs there. Now, I'm not a pathologist, I've never done an operation or anything on a dead person, but we know that blood congeals in the veins, and so this is what happens. The waters of the sea and the ocean become a congealed mess of some sort. Now, there's lots of speculation what that could be. It could be the red tide algae, or it could be this or that. But I think it's more than that, because algae would just be on the surface of the water. But this goes down deep. The entire oceans are congealed in some way. Perhaps the earth is hit by iron meteors that react with water. I have no idea. I'm just going ahead. But we know that God turns the waters to an undrinkable mess, and everything in the sea dies. All the whales, all the dolphins, all the fish, everything dies. Now, you might think that's a terrible thing to God to do. Why does he just strike the people? Well, he's going to remake the heavens and the earth. And I believe in the remade earth, it will be extremely beautiful. But at this point, creation is being destroyed, and God destroys those who destroy the earth. Everything is being consumed by these voracious people and their trading system. Mankind has gone insane with tearing the earth up, and God is now judging every last thing. And a related judgment, the third bowl, and the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and springs of waters, the fresh water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, righteous art thou who art and who wast, O Holy One. I'm using the New American Standard Bible here. Because thou didst judge these things, for they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, Thou hast given them blood to drink, and they deserve it. And so here, the waters, the fresh waters of the earth, the springs, the rivers, the creeks, and everything, they're also turned into blood. And so they've become a source of poisonous water. The water coming out of the taps is now glug, glug, glug. It's like blood. And they're saying, now the earth dwellers, the people who persecuted Christians, they deserve to get blood to drink because of the massive slaughter of the church that has taken place before this. They've taken the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. And so God treats us as we treat others, and God is merciful to people who are merciful, but God is harsh to those who are harsh. And he is far from the proud, and he's close to the humble. He is shrewd with those who are shrewd, but he's pure with those who are pure. And we find that in Psalm 18 and various other places like Matthew chapter 5. So a great rule of thumb is that God treats people as they've treated others. And how have these people treated others? They've persecuted them. They've chopped their heads off. They've slaughtered them at the image of the beast. They've taken all these innocent people and they've butchered them, thinking they were doing a good thing, thinking they were serving God. And so they're now getting justice from God, and their water's being turned into blood to drink. And so we find the judgments are very fundamental judgments, and we find this, the fourth bowl starts affecting the very nature of the sun. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. So there's a fierce heat comes at this point, and it's so great that people are in agony. They're covered in sores already, and the fierce heat's making things worse, and they're staggering around. They're getting heat stroke. They're saying this torment is upon them, and they just don't know how to cope with it. And instead of repenting, instead of turning around and saying, you know, looking at the book of Revelation, they've probably got the book of Revelation somewhere. They know it's God. They know that God's coming back. But no. They're just angry. They're mad at God. In verse 7, just above this, it says, "And I heard the altar saying, Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." Now, the altar is where all the martyrs are, the souls under the altar, and they've been crying out to God throughout the book of Revelation. And so these are the holy martyrs of God, and they're crying out and saying, when are we going to get some justice? And now the justice is coming. They could see that they're being avenged, and so they're seeing the vengeance for all the torture and all the terrible things they were put through as martyrs, and God is bringing retribution. Now, God is a very patient God, and we needn't say that he's always retributive. He's not always punishing, but when he's fed up, when people have stepped over the line, then the retributive justice of God comes to pass, and God does take vengeance. God does rebuke with blazing fire and diseases and plagues. And so we can see this, that God has a limit. He's very patient. He's patient so people all across the world can repent. But eventually there's a time when that runs out, where people's hearts are too hard. And the Old Testament talks about the wickedness of the Amalekites being complete. So the Abraham's descendants had to go into Egypt for 400 years and then come out, because at that point, after 400 years, the iniquity of the Amalekites was complete. They had gone down into the worst of the worst. They were completely sinful people. And the Canaanites and all those people, they were in this dreadful sin. They were sacrificing their children to Baal and other things. And they were suitable for the judgment of God. Their time was up. So at this point, it's much bigger than just the Canaanites, the Amalekites, the people like that. Here, the iniquity of the whole earth is complete. The whole of society is now utterly corrupt, utterly enslaved to demonic powers, and it's all falling apart. Okay. "And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and the kingdom became darkened because they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven." That is the throne of the beast. Now, in Revelation earlier on, it talks about Pergamum being the throne of Satan at that point. And we know that John Mark went there at one point, and he ran home again because he ran into these big evil spirits. At least that's what we think. He was crushed, and he eventually came back onto missionary service. So Pergamum was a very dangerous place spiritually, We don't know where the throne of the beast is now, but we know in the end it will be at this city called Babylon. And so the devil has a place that's his throne where all his cronies hang out and the worst of the worst hang out. And so this big city, Babylon, it's the throne of evil in the earth. All the most wicked people are there. They've got all their little kingdoms set up in the capital, and they're all chortling and running around having big parties until the judgments of God turn up, and suddenly it's dark. The sun doesn't come through. It's pitch black, day and night, and they're sitting there, and this is darkened, and it's probably darkened for weeks and weeks. There's no light at all, and it just becomes a place of utter misery, a foretaste of hell. It's not just dark for 5 minutes. It's dark from as soon as that judgment is poured out, and they switch on the light, and the light doesn't do anything. It's just pitch black, day and night, and people are groping around the walls, and they can feel their own pain, and they know that Jesus is approaching, and the war against God is soon, and they get ready to fight God. And then this, verse 12 in Revelation 16. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings from the east. And so all these kings of the east, all these places that are east of the river Euphrates, Iran, parts of Russia, all the way across there, the stands, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, they're all east of the river Euphrates, and they're all getting their armies ready to come in for the battle of Armageddon to wipe out the people of God. And verse 13, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God Almighty. So here we are. It's also referred to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It talks about false miracles and that the Antichrist would do false miracles to deceive those who did not love the truth. And we find the false prophet earlier on doing these false miracles. Whatever these signs are, they seem very powerful. And there's all sorts of things involved, and these deceiving spirits go out, and they like frogs. I don't know why I like frogs. I quite like frogs myself. They're nice animals, or amphibians. And so they're going out throughout the earth, and these spirits are just gathering all these powerful people. We've got to go to war. Everybody, we've got to go to war. We've got to fight God. Jesus is coming back, and he'll take this earth over, and our games will be finished. And we've got to manage to stop Jesus and his holy angels. They're going to go to war against God Almighty. And they've got some scheme up for that. And then in verse 15 it says, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame. So what's going on here? It's talking about Jesus coming back as a thief. It's a home invasion, except the home's the planet Earth. And Jesus and all his angels are coming, and they're going to break in. They're going to smash their way in past all the schemes that the devil set up to keep the earth secure from God. He's going to smash through the wall of separation. He's going to smash everything of the devil. He's going to smash Babylon. He's coming in with sledgehammers to knock down the door. So it says in Luke chapter 12 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and also in other places that Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. He's coming suddenly at an unknown hour. When we least expect it, Jesus is going to turn up and he's going to smash through. And when everyone says peace and safety, hey, we've been able to keep God out of everything. We've got peace and safety now. No more of these Christians pestering us anymore. We've killed them all and we're just going to have a party. When they think they've got it all locked down, that's when Jesus comes back. And we're to live holy lives, knowing that Jesus could come back at any point once the gospel's been shed to all nations. And that's happening very soon. I've been at a conference recently where they said that's happening. It's underway. The gospel's going out across the whole world, radio, internet, TV, every place on earth. Even the jungles are hearing about the gospel this way and that. And he says what's happening is we've got to be holy people. We've got to walk pure and holy and not be in spiritual shame and nakedness. Verse 16, and they gathered them together to the place in Hebrew, which is called Harmagedon, which is Armageddon. So that's happening there. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air. Why on the air? Because it's smashing the way through for Jesus to come through the air, because the prince of the power of the air is the devil. He's going to smash through the air and come in power. And a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. All the last judgments of God are done. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake. So this earthquake is so great that it starts to affect the geology of the earth. And there was such a great earthquake, such as there had never been since man came upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. So Babylon the Great, the city that rules over the whole earth, it's smashed. This earthquake destroys every last part of it. And every island fled away and the mountains were not found. So if the islands are fleeing away and the mountains are not found, perhaps a gigantic tsunami has just washed the islands away and then the mountains are not found. We don't know what's happened. The whole geology of the earth, all the tectonic plates, they've been shattered. The mountains have gone down and they're flattened by the whole thing. Tectonic plates have buckled, maybe water's rushing in everywhere, and the mountains in the Bible symbolize also the proud and arrogant people. They're cast down, and the wine of his wrath, God is pouring out the great wrath on the earth, and huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each. And these might be physical hailstones of ice, which God's are reserved to smash, but they might be also meteorites smashing into the earth, 100 pounds each. Came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. Of course, the word meteorite isn't found in the Bible. It could be physical hail, it could be a meteorite, but these are smashing into the earth, 100 pounds each. These great lumps of steel and iron or ice or whatever are just crushing everything, and they're just smashing buildings down, houses down, ships, aircraft, everything. They're just being destroyed by this mighty hail, and it's hitting the earth so hard that it's destroying the tectonic plates of the earth. And so imagine like a huge asteroid hits the earth and all the junk, all the tail of the asteroid, all the tail of the meteor is full of these hailstones that are then smashing into the earth as the earth rotates. And everything is just being destroyed. It's buckling. It's screaming. It's yelling. And that's the wrath of God. So God destroys evil. God gives people back what they've earned and they've deserved. And so fear God and worship him. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.